do the seven ecclesias. Why do the seven ecclesias that John is writing to require a prophet? Because the presence of a prophet is a sign of apostasy. There are some good things said to these ecclesias, these churches. I'm going to talk about that word here. But for the most part, they're in apostasy. Why? First, look at the big picture. They're in Asia. They're not supposed to be in Asia. They're supposed to be in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem. That's where God is worshipped, is he not? So they're scattered abroad, and they're in apostasy, and thus they are visited. And this letter of the book of Revelation, John is writing to them. It's going to be quite important. And as we're going to see by the end of this week, each of these synagogues has a messenger who's going to deliver it to them. And they're going to read it, and they're going to get great insight. And perhaps at that point, someone will say, there's a great series on the book of Revelation, and some guy is talking about it. And the guy's hilarious. And we learn from this guy that Satan actually talks like Rodney Dangerfield. That's what they're going to say at the ecclesia meeting in the day of the Lord. But that was the biggest revelation from yesterday's show, I think, that Satan sounds like Rodney Dangerfield. But these ecclesias are far away from the land, as in contrast to the 144,000. The 144,000 do not need a prophet sent to them. Jesus Christ does not come to them. They're sealed on their foreheads, and they are in the holy city, the 144,000 are. So these others, the true people in these ecclesias outside of the land, need an adjustment. And the entire book of Revelation, I get excited, sorry, the entire book of Revelation is an adjustment for Israel. And specifically, this is an adjustment for these people in these particular ecclesias. It's an adjustment at the beginning of the Lord's Day. That's why the prophet is sent to them, Jesus Christ as prophet. Remember, he's prophet, he's potentate, and he's king. He's three things. He's prophet, potentate, and priest. They all start with P. I got to sneeze. Hang on. Thank you very much.
What's the matter, Martin Zender? You got a cold?
If you're watching the studio cam, my little snowman is here.
You got a cold, Zender?
No, I don't have a cold. I just sneezed. There's something in the air.
Yeah, and there's something in the air. It's called snow.
No, it's not. In your world, it is.
I just came from Winver, Pennsylvania.
What's the weather like there?
Snowy.
Well, we figured that. Can I do my show now?
Sure.
Jesus Christ is not only just, it's the three P's. Keep this in mind. Priest, prophet, and potentate, or in the order as they appear in Revelation, prophet, potentate, priest. A prophet talks to those, brings a message from God so that they will know the mind of God and know how they are to behave in relation to the message brought. He's a potentate, that is, he's a king. And he's going to displace the rulers of this world. And he's also a priest. He's an intermediary between God and humanity. And he has to clear the earth of all the religious leaders as well. So, once again, I'm bringing this to your mind. We talked about it in the early days of this series. The two things you're not supposed to talk about in the world, religion and politics, are the themes of Revelation. Religion and politics. So we're talking about it. We're not afraid of anything. So there are no prophets sent to the 144,000 because they're true. These ecclesias are in Asia where they're not supposed to be. They're a little shaky. So therefore, a prophet has sent them. And whenever you see a prophet in Israel, something bad is happening. There's a king that needs adjusted. There's a king that's not doing right. And the people are in apostasy. Now, the Concordant version uses the word ecclesia. John to the seven ecclesias, and there's a reason for that rather than church. Church has acquired a meaning today that is not the original meaning. People say you go to church, right? Everybody hears that. You're supposed to go to church. Well, the word ecclesia defies that idea because ecclesia means called out. Ek means out of in the Greek. That's the Greek prefix here, ek. Out of, ecclesia is called. outcalled, the outcalled people. Church is a people. You don't go to it, you are it. So these ecclesias are not churches as we Westerners think of it. The council in the wilderness was called a church, right? In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, I think there we're looking at Stephen's spiel. Not Steven Spielberg, but Stephen's spiel in the book of Acts. And he's referring to the ecclesia in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness. It was a bunch of people, a bunch of dusty, hungry, griping people in the wilderness called a church. Even more startling, in Acts chapter 19, the mob at Ephesus, the riot of the silversmiths, who hated Paul because he told them that they're not gods made by human hands. That was called an ecclesia. The King James, of course, vacillated there. They took the word ecclesia where they translated it church every other place, and they translated it assembly in Acts 19:22 and 19:41 because they couldn't bring themselves to call it what it was, which was a church. So this is a synagogue of worshipers. And in the message to the Philadelphia Ecclesia, not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we read of those who are claiming to be Jews and are not, but who are of Satan's synagogue. So they were joining in with the mainstream misapprehension. I'm going for an alliteration there. And the mainstream are always wrong in Scripture. That's a rule of scriptural fact, that the mainstream are always wrong. And even within these ecclesias, there's a mainstream. And so that's how small this remnant in the far reaches of Asia is going to be in the day of the Lord. That even these ecclesias in these seven cities outside of Israel, somehow surviving outside of Israel, even they contain, in the majority, people who are apostatized and need adjustment. And so Jesus walks among them, and this letter is going to be hugely important to them. So these people are Jews. It's not you. These seven churches are not modern day churches. They're not a type of churches through the eras, through the ages. They are seven called out groups of people who are meeting in a building, who have among them good and bad, apostate and faithful, and they're going to need adjusted. And John is, this whole letter is written to them. Think of it. This whole letter is written to these people. That's the reason we have this, is because of people who possibly are alive today. I think they are alive today. I think the members of these ecclesias are somewhere alive today. Or else they're being born. Remember, we could be snatched away a long time before these events take place. So, this should tell you right away, and I will keep you in mind of this, that the book of Revelation is not written to you. It is written to Jews. But because there's a need, because John, I should say this, because the Spirit of God anticipated a need for knowledge in the Lord's day, he inspired John to write this letter. And because of that, we have this information. We have information about the second death and the lake of fire and the great white throne that are not mentioned anywhere else because there was a need. I could say the same thing about Paul and the letter to the Galatians. There was a need. The Judaizers came in and started to take away the faith of those few faithful believers in the body of Christ. And they tried to mix law in with grace. And Paul would have none of it, and he wrote a very strong letter. Because of that, we get the analogy between Hagar and Sarah. And we get all sorts of riches out of the book of Galatians because there was a need. And the Holy Spirit met a need through a messenger, a penman, Paul. Likewise, God is anticipating a need of those Jews who will be alive at the time when these events take place, at the time of the inauguration of the kingdom. Now, this is just me, but I don't think the 144,000 will need to read this letter of the book of the unveiling, because they're going to be sealed. They're going to have special revelation. Maybe they'll read it ahead of time. That could be. You know, maybe they're alive now. Maybe some of them are alive now, and they're reading this book and getting wisdom. Maybe they're listening to this web broadcast. I'm serious. But the ecclesias of that day, I think, are probably not even recognizing. This is what I think. I think they're not even recognizing the scriptures. They're not even recognizing that Revelation is inspired. The Jews don't believe any books of the Bible except the first five books, the Pentateuch. So the rest of it, they don't even give credence to. They don't recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're still waiting for the Messiah. So those synagogues and the people in it will need to read the book of Revelation for the first time. And I think they're probably reading it for the first time. And they're reading, and they're going to realize that, oh my gosh, the only reason we have this piece of scripture that we now see is amazing is because this messenger, this penman of God, John, was taken in a vision, in spirit, to our day. And they're going to feel, as I told you yesterday, this amazing intimate connection with John. Because he's not writing to them through an intermediate group like Paul writing to the Romans, and we get his blessing from the blessing to the church at Rome in Paul's day. Not so with John. He's writing to people. He's writing to the people. He's writing to the people, those actual people. And they're going to realize that when John says, I came to be in the Lord's day. In verse 20, I came to be in the Lord's day, and I hear behind me a voice. In other words, he might as well say, I came to be in your day. I came to be in your day. Or it could be that the members of this ecclesia will then be being apprised of the situation that they are in the Lord's day. They're going to go, OMG, we're in the Lord's day. OMG. And somebody's going to get the book of Revelation, and they're going to realize that this book's written to them. And there are leaders in these ecclesias. There will be leaders in these groups, in these synagogues of Jewish people. And these people are going to be amazed to understand that John is seeing them personally. I don't know about you, but that would freak me out to read in the Bible about myself if I actually saw myself in the Bible. Judas could have done this. He who lifts his hand, he who I share bread lifts his hand against me, right? That's in the Psalm, a prophecy concerning Judas. Judas had the scriptures. He had that scripture. He could have read about himself in the Bible. These leaders of the ecclesias, who are called stars, they are going to be reading about themselves in the freaking Bible. And I think that's going to blow their minds. Not to mention, the Spirit of God is going to illuminate them to understand these words. And then they're going to go to martinzenner.com and find this series.